Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Thursday, January the 28th, 2021. And I have the honor to have on Professor Paul and Professor Joel, but before I get to them, these are subjects we're going to talk about today, plus more. We're going to talk about end-time prophecy, which is phantoms and diseases. We're going to talk about plagues. We're going to talk about vaccinations. We're going to talk about domestic terrorists, and how we, the people, have been classified that way. We're going to talk about recall petitions, which is scaring Congress half to death and the Senate, especially after this, the Capitol being surrounded and other state capitals over the past few months of violating people's constitutional rights. With that said, I'm going to hand it over to Professor Paul, and then we're going to get into it with Joe Heavy. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Stu. Hi, Joel, and hello to the listeners. I want to start off with Comrade Andrew McCabe. What a absolute weasel. I couldn't sleep last night and turned on the Criminal News Network, and the first person I saw was the weasel, Comrade McCabe. And all I'm thinking is, how can you keep a straight face? But then I'm thinking, well, you're so owned. And I don't know what they got on him, boys or bribes, or they got everything probably they need on him, and he'll say whatever it takes. And then you got the co-host who can barely keep a straight face. But the meme is now absolutely certain. They're going to push domestic terrorists, and that really goes back to the false flag on January the 6th, and will play into this so-called impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump. I think it's worth our covering a little bit more. Joel asked me to check into some information on Project Cypher and Pogo. There's this character called David Goldberg, and Goldberg, of course, makes some pretty outstanding claims, and I think they reign largely true, whether David Goldberg's a real person or not. My best guess is he isn't. He's playing a character. Somebody's playing David Goldberg, but his information is significant. And for at least the last 3 to 5 years, this whole domestic terrorist dark winter agenda has been at play. And rather than me carrying on, maybe Joel, if you could take over for me.
All right. Essentially, what David Goldberg said is that there were too many people that were becoming aware of the conspiracies, and something had to be done. Now, I don't know exactly when the tapes were made. I think, just giving a guesstimate on it, it was maybe made in about 2017, maybe 2018. But apparently, David Goldberg had connections within the White House, documents, and then memos. He made a distinction between those two, documents and memos. And there were certain things that he said, which was really that there were too many people that were becoming aware of the conspiracy, and that they were going to start a program to take care of that. And so he said that Operation Pogo was a means by which people would be identified, tagged. Then Cypher would be the most insidious one, of where those people who had been identified, tagged, they would then become arrested or something would happen to them. So there were so many people, like, how can you take millions of people and make arrests without people taking notice? So now with the vaccine, we know that the vaccine is absolutely traumatic to the system and you die, because essentially the immune system attacks proteins that have been released into your bodily organs, and your bodily organs become mush. And so that's pretty well established. So now we have a program now of where you, if you're one of those that are listening to this program, can be identified as a domestic terrorist. So as Paul said the other day, yesterday, a domestic terrorist alert has been put out by Homeland Security. And these are people identified as right wingers. So with that said, Paul, go ahead and pick it up.
Well, I just want to expand on the definition for domestic terrorists. You could be right wing, and I'm guessing many of our listeners are, but it also includes libertarians now. And to say that Christians would have the target on their back is an understatement. So we really almost have about half of America now that is being labeled as enemies of the state. And the crazy thing is we live in this idiocracy. That's about the best word I can come up with anymore. And the idiocracy starts with propaganda, social engineering, mind control. And we are really divided, and there are a lot of people. I suspect the numbers are far lower than they used to be, because I do think a lot of people are waking up, and that's why maybe we're seeing an acceleration with agendas like dark winter and vaccinations. Joel, you suggested the other day 36 months. Anytime I see 3 and 6, you know, my mind just jumps out. Of course, there's a lot of numbers in Gematria that catch my attention, because they tend to do things by the numbers. And God has his numbers too. So everything's kind of inverted. I would like to say, however, that if you think you're going to get 36 months, you may be overly optimistic. And then I want to make a counterpoint to the roundups. Yeah, they're going to get a lot of us, the useful believers to the cause that never was, who think that the same people who want them dead care about them and want them vaccinated. But then there's also the so-called domestic terrorists, and I suspect they probably have a list of somewhere between 25,000 to 100,000 of who they think are the most egregious, those with a platform. And so those of us that are doing a lot of talking, we got to be aware of our surroundings at all time. And roundups at night, they may not just be rounding up people who have died unexpectedly from vaccinations, but in fact they may also be coming after the voices of freedom and those who oppose tyranny.
They're already on the move on everybody. Go ahead.
What I would say is on this is when I say come at nighttime, what my interpretation is that yes, there will be those people that will come at nighttime to make the arrest, but it would be too obvious. But the most subtle means of coming at night, meaning the coroner, or rather the EMTs coming to collect the body that's died, because their organs are now mush. So when we say coming at night, it's just not like the old style Stasi, because that would be too obvious. What they're going to do is it's going to be something that's more subtle. Like, for instance, why are they carrying out an impeachment? It's never been heard of to impeach someone who's no longer the president. That's ridiculous. So if you attach what we've been talking about to that, what that does is that it makes people angry, and then they start calling in to these websites and to these speakers who are actually shills, or even through Promiseware, being able to get into chat rooms and picking up your IP and then tracing you where you're at, and then shipping all of that data up to Bluffdale. Stu, tell them about Bluffdale.
Well, Bluffdale, Utah is where they have the NSA private contractor Daddy Bush spy ring on the whole planet. It's all tied to Inslaw software stolen from Bill Hamilton, It was a tracking device on white collar crimes for the Justice Department. They stole it, didn't pay him his $200 million. He should be paid. Inslaw-something.com is his new site. But anyway, he was ripped off. He developed the software. Michael Reconosciuto, that Ted Gunderson put in jail illegally for 20 some odd years on a meth lab charge that he wasn't involved with, came out as he worked on the Promise software after Bush stole it from him. And Gunderson was running a covert operation out of his FBI office. He had Michael Reconosciuto working for him. He had Raymond Lavis. Raymond is the one that, Reconosciuto was the one that took the software, figured out a trap back door to it, and then Bush sells it to all the intelligence agencies all over the world, all the governments, where he could profiteer from it, and if they wouldn't buy it, he gave it to them. And they use it and went, wow. They had it all hooked up to Westar satellites. Westar is a series of satellites owned by the U.S. government, shot up over the years. These satellites have been transformed into death rays, sonar technology, other stuff. And it's because they put trap back doors, and they hooked up Bluffdale, they hooked up Westar, they hooked up E-Systems, they hooked up everything. Now, let me touch on what they did. They made bendable lasers out of the Inslaw software that was a death ray that hit 911 that are on our ships today. We talked about in yesterday's recording, the whole bit. But Bluffdale is part of the center of focus of it because I put Super Spook Otis Johnson on the airplane with General Flynn when I was in Nebraska twice in his town. Once working on his house for nearly a year, putting in 40 hours a week, remodeled the whole thing, restructured the whole thing, and they went mad, batshit crazy, and shot him and stone-dart him. He had to have a triple bypass for having me in his house as a guest, okay? I had to go to the dentist because a couple fillings fell out. That's one of the signs, if you got mercury. I thank God they're out now. But here's the point. I put him on an airplane up in, he was in Hastings, up in Grand Island, Nebraska, once with General Flynn, driving his Cadillac, delivering to the airport. His girlfriend, don't want to mention name at the time, she was going to pick him up. Okay, no problem. So I delivered him early in the morning two different times. Once when I was working on his house, and another time when he got me a contract to redo a couple houses up there. Now, these are 5 to 7 month projects normally, but I was stuck up there because he wanted to keep going on his house as an example. But I met some super spooks partying with him. I met a lot of people because they had a swimming pool. I built him a huge patio cover with skylights, all kinds of crap. But I put him on the airplane once with General Flynn and saluted General Flynn. But he said, stay in the car as soon as I get my luggage, take off. I said, okay. So I kind of watched him. He walked up to the end of the staircase. You walk up, push it up the airplane. He walks up there and salutes Flynn. Flynn came out. Now, that was one time. Another time was General Hayden. I saluted back at Flynn because he saluted over at me. But Hayden, you know, I turned around, saw his face. I said, fuck, I'm out of here. But he took him out there, Hayden did, to Groom Lake to show him a new helicopter to see if he had rat out what was going on. He says, I'll tell you what I saw, but keep your mouth shut because they're seeing if I say anything to you. I said, okay. But General Flynn, he had come back. He told me about what he saw. Now, there's a recording on my internet site, stuweb.com, that backs this up. Scroll down on the radio bar and look for Blast from the Past, Otis Johnson. It's the only time I recorded it because they were trying to kill me, and they were trying to kill him. But one of the hitmen that was trying to kill me that was involved, that I saw his friggin' face, was Ty Dallas Jones. And Alex Jones had been putting him on the air, promoting him because of Jesse Ventura. Jesse, they infiltrated him heavily. And by the way, Otis Johnson's good friend was the one that financed Jesse Ventura. And he told me, he says, Stu, he says, it's a playbook off your internet site what he's going to be doing. Okay? Now, Otis, in that recording, talks about going to Bluffdale again. Now, he'd already gone. He already told me. Here's what's underneath the place. 6 stories below ground. A bunker. Nuclear attack. Take anything. Beyond computers, he said. And he says, you're right. They have the alien base hooked up to it on the south side. and it runs clear down to Richfield, Utah. And he said they built a concentration camp out there where I-70 ends in Utah. I think it's I-95 is what it is, or I-15. It comes up through there. He says it's over in the southeast corner. They put a 10 square mile perimeter of barbed wire fencing for FEMA when they come to round people up. They're going to take them out there and feed them to the aliens. I said, no shit. The aliens are the fallen angels, folks. They're in control of the communications at Bluffdale with Daddy Bush, a fallen angel-possessed individual that I think is still alive, possibly down in Paraguay. Now, they took an Air Force tunnel down there. That's the reason I suspect that. And they bored the place. And there's aquifers, clean water. But what they have hooked up is hooked up to Inslaw. It's hooked up to Jerusalem. You can go to my internet site. Here's an example. Yesterday's posting, along with the radio show, I put up an IP, showed up as the United States. I ran it. It's the Cheney Reservoir near Wichita, Kansas, which is part of the secret underground base. Also, they got one in Atlanta, and they have one down in St. Louis that are these communication connections. And it goes into Langley and the whole place. Now, this Wichita, Kansas, Cheney Reservoir is the one primarily hit me. And I know that it's FBI 5 as well. They target you many different ways. But you can look at the evidence showing United States comes in as, I click on it, it shows me it's the reservoir because of the 37-something parallel or latitude. Then if you look at what I posted in this PDF up there, scroll down, and where is the IPs coming from? Where's it coming from? Israel, it says. Now, that's where I run the evidence. That shows Jerusalem is tied to this and tied to Bluffdale, tied to Cheney Reservoir. And you go to my website and put in Bluffdale. I've already blocked Bluffdale several times. You can see it. IPs hitting my site. Now, I've learned how to play the game. The phone's the same way. Every call that you make is a port for them to get into. Every call. And here's how I figured this one out. After figuring out all this crap with the communications so tight and watch everything, they poke you. They took a two teeth out of me through my computer screen. Laser. I went, what the fuck? Bam. Next day, two teeth fall out. No rot. Just broke off. Then blew up a battery later. They've been targeting me pretty heavy. Now, when they blew up my phone, I had to go through one hell of a lot of crap for several days here, putting it back together. But I figured out one thing. Someone brought it to my attention. Hey, remember, they're looking for the ports, because I kept getting these phone calls. And I got two of them from these terrorists here in Kansas City, FBI number 5 terrorists. I gave out the phone numbers yesterday, but here's an example. I try to pull it up if I can real quick. I had the list. It's not my hands. Yeah, here we go. Here's the two phone numbers. Anyone take it up there and punch it in the internet and search it for yourself. 816-844-7646. It's 816-844-7646. That's FBI Kansas City. Then here's the NSA. And this one pops up on my phone as spam risk from Vermont. I thought, I'm not answering that. I'm not answering this 816 because I know what they're doing. They're hooking in, and I'm turning around and cleaning them off. I tell you how to do it, folks. This one's 802-357-2999. 802-357-2999. Now, you look them up on the internet, and you have to search down a page or two, and all of a sudden, there's their company appears. Okay? And let me see. I could go back to, I think, it'd take a while, but I saved this. So I ran these numbers. I ran their IPs. There's all kinds of places you can run IPs. DNSanalytics.com is one of them. There's several of them. But they give you a pretty good feed. And it tells you all the servers. It tells your email banks. It tells you everything. Well, I went and blocked those two numbers. I blocked everything that their names popped up. Okay? So, they got a problem. They've been identified. They've been shut down. Now, the way you do it on your telephone is you have to eliminate not your contacts. You keep those. You have to eliminate every phone call that you've had off your phone. And then after you do a call, you come back up and you hit the middle button or whatever, and there's a little button on the right on mine. I click on it and it says delete or block. Bam, delete the conversation ever happened. You just close the ports. Then you have to get your battery out. You have to get your chip out. You have to clean off your phone. Then you have to run your AVG cleaner and your AVG scanner and the whole bit. You get the free edition. And I guarantee you, they're going to be calling you back. If they're targeting your phone, you're going to get a call from some so-called spammer out there. Oh, I get these calls from these people all the time, and they fill up the pages of it. But you go down the pages, you find out who the fucking corporation is or who's behind it. Now, we're all targets. I'm just a big target because of my noise out here with my show and so forth. But we're all targets in many, many ways. Now, some of the other ways it targets is I want to bring this into it. I want, Joe, I want you to get into this as well. But G5, 5G, all this electronics. So what is it all about? Turn us into a robot, Joe?
I think it's connected to the vaccines. That's what the 5G does. I think it's connected to the vaccines because they now know for sure what happens. Proteins are released into your system. The immune system of your body goes after those proteins. Those proteins have infiltrated into your bodily organs, and I believe they're activated by 5G.
Well, I've put up a couple of videos.
In other words, the way to do this, it seems to me, is that when people die, they think, well, they died of COVID. And they died of COVID, but they died because they took the vaccine. The vaccine is the key on all of this. And there's a lot of people, I'm hearing on the other show, the people that are nurses that call in and say at these old folks' homes, yesterday they lost 14 old people in the same little old people's home. 14 people died. Because they had taken the vaccine.
I know. Paul, all right, Joe, I got a father in a nursing home. Believe me, I'm standing on top of everything. But I'm watching something. It's beyond the vaccinations. They've had these people in lockdown for a year. That's like being in a friggin' prison cell for an entire year. No contact with your family. I stand outside of a window and talk to him with a walkie-talkie. That's how bad it is. He can't hear me unless I do that. I can hear him. But that's how bad it is. They don't feed them. They have no family contact right now whatsoever. And they've put even a super lockdown on them, where if they now leave their room, they got to have a mask on to go down the hallway to take a shower. This is sick shit.
Right.
And they're underfed, undernourished, and they're dying. Masses across this country. I've been talking to a few nurses besides this, checking out where he's at, but other nursing homes and other people that I know where they have parents or grandparents or something. This whole country's fucked up. Go ahead,
Joe. All right, Stu, part of that, what you're describing there, is what happens to people when they see no sunshine, they are locked up, they are isolated, they become automatons. And that's exactly what masks do. You become impersonal. You lose the persona. Paul, go ahead and jump in on that.
Yes. These masks are really part of their ritual. It's part of who they are. We're dealing with humans that have lost their humanity. About anybody in power or leadership, there's two things about them to be sure of. They have passion and no conscience. And to me, that would suggest either demonic influence, oppression, or possession. And it's wild. It's beyond what most of us imagine. But the power that we have is in our blood. It's in our DNA. And these people do all sorts of rituals, including human sacrifice. And then they spell cast, and part of their spell casting is to further their depopulation agenda. And this depopulation agenda, of course, includes what Stu was talking about earlier, and I just want to give people a name for it, scalar wave technology. So when Stu talks about Stonar, he's really describing scalar wave technology.
And that's on the satellites. That's on the Westar satellites controlled by E-Systems, which I understand Jeb Bush is now in control of. It's all Iran-Contra. Hit teams, the CIA, everything. Go ahead, Joe. Election fraud, stealing the election. Go ahead.
Well, the technologies that they have and that they're employing are sophisticated, and they're using them, and it's really going to require all of us to wake up very quickly, and hopefully that's part of what we're doing here. And so we encourage anyone, if you're hearing meaningful information here that you think others can benefit, please pass it along. I just want to tell a couple encouraging stories. I have both conservative and liberal friends. In fact, a lot of my old friends still, you know, hold to the liberal idea that the world is idealistic, romantic, and it's about virtue signaling. And just in the last 36 hours, 48 hours, two of my fairly liberal friends have awakened. I mean, it's like, you're blowing me away. I mean, everything I've been saying, it finally makes a little bit of sense. And they said, yes, I didn't know how dark it was. I didn't know how deep it went. But now my mind's blown. I gotta get a hold of this. Cognitive dissonance a lot of people, you know, I talk sometimes and they shut down. And I get why they shut down, because what we're talking about is, well, it's dark. But our opponent knows what they're doing, and hopefully one person at a time. And I think we've been pretty good so far at getting the message. Don't take the jab. The surveys the jab is a really bad thing. There's section 13 in the insert. Maybe that's redundant. I don't know how else to say it. The inserts for vaccines include warnings. Never read the warning label within the vaccines. They really do disclose that what they're doing is they're modifying your RNA, which is, DNA has two strands. RNA is the program for DNA. So when you take DNA apart, you've got two strands of RNA. And Joel has correctly described scientifically what they're doing, and they're turning the immune system against itself. And with 5G, you just got the cocktail that they want for depopulation and what I think is dark winter. A dark winter may be multiple agendas, but Stu, you talked about, we're going to talk about end time prophecy, and I think we can go there now. We're about 20, 25 minutes, and I want to keep this to about 40 minutes.
Yeah, we're about 28.
Off with prophecy. Some people start Bible prophecy with Daniel. I would argue you start with Genesis. And, of course, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. But almost every book in the Bible has prophecy in it. Sometimes if you're studying prophecy seriously, you realize that sometimes there's a prophecy within a prophecy within a prophecy. And oftentimes, God's words are fulfilled more than once. They're fulfilled twice. And I just want to take people to the book of Revelation briefly. What you have in the book of Revelation is you have seven seals, and then you have seven vials or seven bowls, and then you have seven trumpets. And it seems to me, if one studies the Club of Rome, report from Iron Mountain, silent weapons for quiet wars, the Rockefeller reports, those people are following the book of Revelation, and they are engineering, obviously, wars. They've been very successful at engineering wars, but they're also engineering plagues, disease. Right now, they're working real hard on famine. And maybe that's a good jumping point for right now, because across the United States, a lot of grains aren't being planted, there are foods not being planted, and it's because of weather warfare. And so when we talk about end times prophecy, they are playing their role. And when I say they, I mean the dark side, call them the Cabal, the Illuminati, the Nosferatu. There are many names for them. But I encountered an interesting prophecy last night because I got a report that troops were gathering in Syria. And Syria, of course, is where they would try and take the Golan Heights, the high ground. And it got me into Isaiah 17, and Isaiah 17 talks about Damascus being a heap of rubble. Most of us know that Damascus is a very old city, but it's more than just an old city. By our accounts, it's the oldest occupied city in the world. So it goes back almost 6,000 years. And so I think we're seeing a lot of forces come into play here. It's not just what's happening with technology, with vaccines and 5G, but they're also working on the agenda to get World War III going. And I am thinking this year, or at least this year into the next 3 years, if you look at the Deagle Report, the takedown of America is on their radar, but the takedown of the whole world is on their radar. And so I throw it back to you guys to comment. I know I covered a lot of material there, but I just wanted to give people an overview. When we talk about end times prophecy and we speak of the Bible, that's kind of where we work from.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to turn it back over to Joe, with Joe touching on this. All Trump supporters, Joe, that believe that Trump was going to save them, whatever. I think Whitney Webb, Unlimited Hangout, said it all. And I believe David Goldberg's mentioned those stories. Then the second thing I'd like for you to touch on, Joe, which we said in the beginning, or before we came on the air, I mentioned end-time prophecies about the plagues. You mentioned about the phantom. I want you to touch on that, because I think you said it the best, those two things. Trump supporters and Goldberg and end-time prophecies, plagues and phantoms.
All right, the best word that I have, using your phrase, the best word that I've heard about who Trump is by certain commentators on other programs, Trump was brought in to become the punching bag. And that was to make the Patriot angry, and they would begin going to websites, they would begin posting, and from the Promiseware and Backdoor and ARC CPU, they could go in and trace who these people are. And then take all of that data, take it over to Bluffdale, transmit it through the NSA all the way over to Unit 82, where they now have a big, huge complex in the Gaza of it's just a computer city is the best way to call it. And that is where they coalesce everything, make their strategies, and then continue on down the road. So if you want to understand who Trump is, where this came from, that he was not this independent guy that came in with his own money, he was groomed. And Whitney Webb, in her Unlimited Hangout with Epstein, because read the three parts on Epstein, and that will give you who Trump is. He's not this guy that just came out of nowhere. He was groomed by the mega group, and these are billionaire men. They're billionaire globalists. And so Trump became the means by which they could identify, because they would pick from day one. They began picking on Trump. Why? Because it would make the Patriot mad, and the Patriot would come in and find ways to express himself or herself, and then finding through the Promiseware who it is, and build up a list. And that's what happened with that. So with now, they're continuing it, and they're finishing it off with this impeachment, which is ridiculous. You can't. Why are you impeaching someone? How can you impeach someone who is a who's no longer the president?
Oh, by the way, real quick, Joe, the introduction of the impeachment articles of this time around was Congressman Emanuel Cleaver from Kansas City, folks. I'd like to recall him. I want listeners from Kansas City. I know we've got a lot of black listeners in Kansas City. Help me out. Let's get the petition going. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. The idea was to poke or enrage the Patriot, and they still are probably trying to get high. As David Goldberg said, there are going to be high-value targets. Those are the ones they're going to go after with the Stonar and with other silent wars for, you know, silent weapons for silent wars.
They hit me with Stonar every day, Otis Johnson said in 2004. Stu, you're on the list with six other people in Kansas City. I said, well, who are the other people? He says, I can't tell you that. You asked me if I could check, and I told you I would. He says, yes, you're on the list. He says, they're hitting you every day. He says, it's in the middle of your sleep. He says, that's when they hit you. And he says, after a while, it breaks down your immune system after 3 to 5 years and you're dead. He says, you're lucky to be alive.
That is why I'm saying when David Goldberg said they're going to come at night, think of silent weapons for silent wars, which is Behold a Pale Horse, Bill Cooper.
And I talked to Bill. He was straight up with the stuff. I talked to Bill. I remember Bill. I talked to him. He was straight up. He had it right. Go ahead.
So, when we say they're going to come at night, it's really, I think, a code word, how they're going to come in silently and take you out through this electronic warfare. And the heart of that is the cell phone system. And then they can specifically target people and then begin to break you down.
Now, real quick, Bill Cooper, it ran through my memory after you brought his name up. Bill Cooper died, folks, because he was exposing the aliens. He went on some radio shows, big ones, in Utah. Two or three of them, he ended up dead. Go ahead.
So, anyway, now let's go over to, Whitney Webb. Can't think of the name right now. But the idea is silent wars for silent weapons for silent wars, and that is electronic warfare. And they, and like you have just said, they go after the immune system. What a better thing to have than, hey, you've got to take the vaccine for this deadly disease, and we found out that it's nothing but a flu virus, and the people that are dying because they had preconditions.
Lacking vitamin D, calcium, magnesium, zinc are the four major things that they're lacking that they found in these corpses afterwards to find out what their immune system had done. It's because of nutrition, because of what they're doing with GMOs and all the other crap that we're eating. It's all intentional, and it's designed to do this. Now, on my radio bar, here's an example of what 5G does to you. Electrocute you. Amber, look for the radio show about February, March. Amber, nurse, Charlene, nurse. Amber Bakersfield, listener, nurse, RN, gets 5G put up on towers in her neighborhood. 2 months later, she starts having two periods a month instead of a normal 28-day cycle. Within 10 months, her brain began to shrink, had blood coming out of her ear. She had identified 100 other women having double periods within 2 months after she started having it in the city. They shut it down. They buried the 5G in her street. For those that had it, he trenched it, buried it with asphalt, whole bit. Within 2 months, she went back to 28-day cycles. Her brain quit shrinking. Blood kept or stopped coming out of her ear, and it took her about 6 or 8 months for her body to semi-recover from the damage that was done. Now, when the first outbreak of the so-called virus happened, what did they do? They cranked up 5G over there in China. What was the name of that? Wuhan, China, or whatever it is? They cranked that up at the time. And what is up on my videos on my website, if they're still in existence, but they are on my site. Go back that time frame, first last year, what was happening? They were taking videos of people going into convulsions, and their brains were shrinking and blood was coming out of their ears from 5G. Now, that's just an example, folks. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. For those folks that are still kind of new to things, one of the great books, they're still, it's very relevant today, is Bill Cooper's Behold the Pale Horse. Go buy the book and read it, and that will tune you in to everything that Stu is talking about.
He's got the AIDS document in there, folks, because I've got a different document. It's the same document. It's a testimony where they created AIDS. The United States Army created AIDS clear back in 68 or 72. Scientists for the U.S. Army. Go ahead.
All right, so let's take this. Now, for those of you that want, that are kind of new to it, if you'll go to Revelation 13, that will kind of sum up for you some of the things that Paul is saying, that is, that he's concerned about. Revelation 13. Now, I will tell you, I had a friend, I won't reveal his name, but he was in the IDF, and he was stationed, and part of his tour of duty was being stationed in the Dead Sea area, and he said that he was put on guard duty at a place where they had completely rebuilt the temple in the Dead Sea area.
IDF is the Israeli Defense Force. IDF is the Israeli Defense Force. He's working for the Israeli Army. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, could you confirm that that's a prefab temple and that they're going to reassemble it either Temple Mount or somewhere in Jerusalem?
I asked that question. Is it a prefab? No, he said it. They rebuilt it because they had to practice rebuilding it. And what they had to do is they had to create priests who never touched the ground. And what they did, once they got the temple built, the priests never touched the ground. And this ties into everything that Trump said. Why did they move the embassy, which is, according to international law, you can't do? Jerusalem is supposed to be a free and open city. It's not to be controlled by any country.
And the Camp David Accords got Egyptian President Sadat assassinated by those Israelis in his own force, and then replaced him with an Israeli stooge. The Camp David Accords through Jimmy Carter prohibited it. It was part of the agreement with the United States, Israel, and Egypt. Jerusalem would never be the capital or recognized as the capital, and no embassy would ever be put there. Go ahead.
Now we'll bring it down to one of the statements said by David Goldberg. This whole push is to make Jerusalem the capital of the one world government. And so then it begins to make sense why you have this temple cult group that is in Jerusalem, and where the coin came from, and where that Trump was likened to Cyrus. It was all a pre-programmed psyop to consolidate everything they were doing, and we now culminated into, how are we going to eliminate these individuals, these patriots? And that is to bring them out and identify them, and then use silent weapons for silent wars, the vaccine.
A lot going on there. I just want to tie a couple of things together. Revelation 13 is where the mark of the beast is. And so right now, we've got these vaccines, and I think they're a giant step, or maybe a huge leap, towards the mark of the beast. I am not qualified to say whether they're going to be enhanced with maybe a micro needle array patch that everyone's going to have to put on,
and so that it even goes beyond this, or whether there is going to be a hydrogel component that essentially you become your phone. And maybe you guys have a position on that. And then I want to just comment quickly on the pale horse. The book of Revelation does have three sevens to it. And some people think that the seals, the seven seals, are in linear order. I think they are. And then that the bowls and vials are in linear. And then that the trumpets are in linear. I don't subscribe to that because I don't subscribe to what's called the pre-tribulation rapture, nor do I subscribe necessarily to the tenets of dispensationalism. And what I would say about the book of Revelation is it's not linear. Reasonable people can disagree. I'm not claiming expertise, but I just want people to be aware of that those sevens, three sevens, the seals, the bulls, and the trumpets, by some are considered linear, and by others who take a more esoteric, erudite view, they aren't. And then I would like to point out that the pale horse that Bill Cooper writes about is the pale green horse, the fourth seal in the book of Revelation. And that is kind of when everything culminates. You got war, you got disease, you got famine, you got pestilence, all of those things combined. Anyway, just wanted to interject that. Where are you guys at right now with this vaccine? Is it a step? Is it a leap? What's your position on the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13?
Go ahead, Jim.
You just said it. They have the patch. They're already getting people accustomed to getting a stimulus package. That stimulus package will morph into the universal income. And in the end, you will not be able to own a house. You will not be able to own anything. You will rent it. And you'll be happy too, Joel.
Inner city.
Yeah.
Inner cities. It'll be like all the stuff, they're building in these cities right now. Even Kansas City is a little 650, 550, 450 square foot units. Inner city. Take a bus or a rail car or take the bus. No cars. Work from the city.
And they deliberately built them. I mean, this is Denver. I couldn't believe it. I'm seeing all of these micro apartments being built brand new. You wouldn't want to live in them. I know maybe some of the people listening might. They're framed. There's very little concrete. I mean, you can hear everything four doors down. But they deliberately built them where maybe a house stood, and then they deliberately create no parking, no parking at all. And this is, Joey was busy his first day, and some of them look blank. Who knows what he was signing? But one of the things that he was trying to get going immediately was the war on carbon. The war on carbon, of course, being anything that would be coal or natural gas or oil. And you may recall that Heinz Kissinger wanted us to call them fossil fuels, which is totally bogus, totally ridiculous. You couldn't find a geologist or anybody in that field that would say these are fossil fuels. We've proved over time, of course, they aren't, ancient dinosaurs. They aren't anything that we're told.
Alien-possessed
fossil fuel scam was back to the Club of Rome. And what they're going to impose on us is this artificial scarcity of resources. And so you got a bunch of confluence of forces. And anyway, guys, I need to wrap it up on my end. What final words do you guys have for today?
Okay, here's what I want you to do, Paul. Real quick, phantoms and plagues that are end time prophecies. Now, we have this stuff where dispensationalism, where the devil and his dominions, such as fallen angel possessed Kissinger and others, I'm not blaming him, but whatever lived in him before, may have been involved in changing the Bible way back. Here's the point. It has been changed. I believe that. Explain this real quick, Joe, to wrap it up. plugs, phantom end time prophecies, and this dispensationalism that all the Christians are out here believing.
Well, I had originally thought that the dispensationalists had gone away. No, they're even more sophisticated with their mind control. I've been watching certain channels because I haven't had a TV in 6 years. They're even more sophisticated than ever in how they manipulate people's mind at these big churches that will have 10,000 people.
Like Joe Epstein is his name?
Joe Epstein is a good example. You have these mega churches, and they are, what I have seen, because they are offshoots of dispensationalism. In other words, it's their prophecy that they are forcing upon the social fabric of the world to say, aha, you see, we said it, and it's going to happen. And, they are the ones that caused it. Pestilence? Hey, vaccine, you die.
And the food supplies. Look at this food supply. Look at what they're doing. They're killing the food supply. All up and down the coast of California, normally the Bakersfield, clear on up north to Napa, is the growing area. Feeds, I think, 70% of America or something. It's four seasons per year growing. They haven't been growing for the past year and a half, folks. And they just had a mass rainstorm that somebody lives up there called me and asked me to pray with them to stop the rainstorm. She had enough faith, she moved the rainstorm off of them. It was flooding down the streets of Bakersfield and other places. Landslides now are happening. Prayer worked and it stopped within 5 to 10 minutes. Weird. But that's what they're doing. They're out to kill the crop. They're out to kill everything. They're in their destruction mode now. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, so you jarred my mind a little bit. I do have a question for you when you finish your thought.
Okay, the idea is they are the ones that are bringing about the so-called self-styled prophecy. And I thought these dispensational churches had been exposed for what they are. They're bigger than ever, with more mind control than ever. They have many of the worship services, if you want to call them that, are like the dim lit with colors. And is there, in those so-called megachurches, there's nothing in there that represents Christian tradition. There's not even a cross.
It's mind-bending stuff. One of the things that I learned in my academic studies is about the nonprofit, or what people would call the NGO, the non-governmental organization that really exists to do what normally is associated with what governments do in Europe and other places. And the NGO has been totally engineered to basically break down society further. And so you create these mega churches. And the way you create mega churches is you cannibalize all of the real churches. A lot of Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled believers are in these small churches. But Heinz Kissinger and Peter Drucker and Rick Warren and about every big name that you know, Joel Osteen, essentially they were given this model back in the 80s, and it would be the market-driven church. And rather than talking about the real message of the redeeming that Jesus did for us, his death on the cross, his ascension, and his blood, instead, the purpose-driven church now is about average weekly attendance, number of parking spots, programs, the weekly offering, and it has very little or nothing to do with the real message. Instead, you get this lukewarm, seeker-friendly. And here's the whole deal on the seeker-friendly church. What you try and do is draw in as many seekers as you can,
And when you get all these seekers together, they don't want any message really heavy. They just want a plaster Jesus. They want the smiley Jesus, the Jesus loves you. They want the simple message. And then they want to figure out where are we going to get our nails done or where are we going for lunch. And this is something that goes back way to the 1900s when the seminaries were infiltrated. So, Stu, you're absolutely right. The Bibles have been totally changed. You got so many different versions of Bibles, it's kind of tough to keep track of. And there's a lot of spellcasting that's been going on with Bibles since the King James. We wouldn't even recognize the King James today that originally came out in 1611, that was redone in 1629, and it's beyond our scope here. But, Joel, I want to ask you a question that ties into what I said earlier, is that when I look at the Club of Rome, when I look at Silent Weapons from Quiet Wars, when I look at report from Iron Mountain, when I look at the Rockefeller Report, it appears to me that they have a playbook, and a lot of this is predictive programming, meaning they already have the script, so it's not really going into understanding the future and prophecy, which brings me to a question about the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records have long fascinated me. Sometimes I think they're part of the second heaven. I think that's where forces go to get information. What exactly are the Akashic Records, and what do they tell us, and are they part of the predictive programming that people are following, or are they something different?
All right, now let me be clear about this on the Akashic Records. This does not come out of, the words do not come out of the Christian tradition. It comes out of the Eastern religions. So let's be very clear about that, because a lot of people get a little bit antsy when it includes the Eastern religions. But the closest thing that we have in Christianity is, are you in Jesus' Book of Life? The Book of Life is, for some people, a symbolic thing of where every thought, every deed that you did is registered on this skein of time. All right, that skein of time is all your deeds that you have done. Now, I'm not promoting this, but I'm just saying this is where it comes from. What we have now is we have a lot of people that have had near-death experiences. And these near-death experiences, there are so many of them, that's how they give validity to it. One of the things that they talk about is your book of review of life. Every instant, everything that you did is shown to you from a higher perspective. What is the good and what is the evil that was taken by you out of that? One of the big ones is, you can go to Daniel Brinkley, Saved by the Light. He was one badass Marine. He was an assassin, and he was struck by lightning, and he had these near-death experiences, and he was shown what he did. Here's an example. One of the things that he did was is to assassinate a high-ranking value target in Vietnam, and it was a colonel. What happened was is that he became the colonel. And he felt the pain of the bullet going through his head. And he then was shown the effect that it had on the family of that colonel. That is a near, and that's what Daniel said. When you die, you will go through a book of life review of everything that you said, everything that you did, in a reflection of your higher conscience and the good and the bad that goes along, because that's your great teacher. So that is what we call the Akashic Records. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. And there. So the question is then, what good is the blood? Well, you can either do it the hard way or you can do it the easy way. The blood helps you. Jesus's crucifixion is important, very important, because many things were done to help mankind in aligning your will with his will through his grace. And that's what it all comes down to. And I think that is the idea of the blood. The blood helps you to do that, because the word salvation really means the turning around of the mind. That is, in its etymology, that's what it means. It's not all of a sudden you are saved forever. What it means is a turning of the mind, and as Jesus says, you pick up your cross and you walk the walk, which means lots of pain.
Yeah, it is a lot of pain, Joe.
And how do you deal with it? You deal with it. You get the higher understanding of this lesson. It is called character building. Little by little by little by little. Character building. Character is everything. And what is the character building? Learning to do his will.
Joel, I'm loving it. I have a bunch of follow-up questions, but I regret that I have to sign off. But to be continued, thank you guys, and all the great to you.
And Joel, I want to thank you, and we'll do this again tomorrow if you want to finish up on this, but we need to talk about it. Paul?
Salvation is a thing that, it's kind of confused. It comes out of Calvinism that you are saved by faith alone, and it started a big argument between the book of James and Paul. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about Paul, and a lot of misunderstanding. You are saved by grace through faith, which means you go through terrible pains of character building. And it's easy words to say, but a hard walk to walk. Jesus said, pick up the cross and walk with me.
Very well said. Are you still there?
That is the absolute misunderstanding by these mega churches.
Hypergrace has been pushed really hard. I have a lot of academic studies on the feud, the supposed feud between the two. There's much I'd like to pick up. I need to sign off. Thank you, guys. See you tomorrow.
I thank you both. I thank you, Paul. I thank you, Joe. Both. We will do this again tomorrow. Okay. Have a good day.